Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, our Bible study will pick up with verse 9 this morning, but let's read the first 8 verses leading up to it. Verse 1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." He is speaking to dear children. We're going through some exhortations, and I want to make it extremely clear each time that he is speaking to children, those who are his children. He's not giving any of these exhortations in order for us to become his children. Never have I told my two girls, "If you want to be my children, this is what you have to do." Never. This is because we are his dear children. Because of that, he's speaking to us and he's given us these exhortations. He declares in verse 2 what Christ endured to make us his dear children, to secure that. Verse 2 says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." He said Christ hath done that. That's done. That's in the past. That's finished. He gave himself. And now he says because of that in verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Now he continues what he's saying. He's saying something right here. And he continues what he's saying in verse 10. But in verse 9, he inserts a statement. He inserts a thought in parentheses. And he says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." John Gill gave a good illustration for what that verse is saying. He gave a very good illustration. He compared a believer, a child of God, to a tree. The believer is the tree. He said Christ is his root. The Spirit is the sap which supports and nourishes the tree. And good works under the influence of God's grace, they are the fruit, and the fruit will evidence the tree. What is the fruit of the Spirit in a child of God? What is the fruit of the Spirit in a child of God? The Apostle Paul said in verse 9, it's goodness, righteousness, and truth. This could be the most critical thing I say in this Bible study. All three of those things are the same thing. Christ. That's right. Christ. All three of those things are Christ. all three of those things. There is none good but God. If a person tries to say, well, my own goodness is the evidence of the fact that I'm a child of God, I know I'm going to go to heaven because I've done plenty of good to... No, sir. No, sir. There is none good but God. None good but God. He is made unto us righteousness. He is the end of the law for righteousness. Righteousness is perfection. It says, according to what God demands, good and right. He's the end of the law for righteousness. The scripture says all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. He's my righteousness. And he himself said, I am the truth. I'm the truth. But his goodness produces a desire for goodness. His righteousness produces a desire for righteousness. His truth produces a desire for truth. God's people don't love evil. They do not love evil. They do not love wickedness. They do not love lies. They just don't. Turn with me over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Naturally in the flesh, that describes every person in this room. That just described all of us. That described our mind. That described our heart. Every single one of us. That described the Apostle Paul. That right there described the Apostle Paul. But he said in Romans 7, I hate the fact that I see these things in my flesh. I hate it. I hate the fact that I cannot stop committing the sins of this flesh. I hate it. God's people sorrow over what they see in the flesh. They go into their mind. They get lost in their mind just for a minute and they think, what in the world am I thinking? That right there. And they hate it. They sorrow over what they see in their flesh. They repent before God and they hate it. And the reason they hate it, the reason God's people hate it, is because God has put His Spirit in them. And the Spirit of God in the child of God desires and craves the exact opposite of the flesh. Just craves it. Everything that's totally contrary to the flesh. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. John Gill said, he went on to say, and I love this. I love how he worded this. He said, when the Spirit of God dwells in the child of God, there will be, to some degree, there will be to some degree the appearance of this fruit. To some degree. Now this is why he said to some degree. If you look at verse 17, it says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Because we're still carrying around the body of this sin, we cannot enter into the Spirit like we want to. We just cannot do it. But thank God, because His Spirit dwells in us, we cannot run with the flesh like it wants to. They're at war with each other. They're warring. Wars within the child of God. So we can't always see the fruit of the Spirit. And the reason is because the flesh is at war with it. But the exhortation is this: fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Strive to suppress the flesh. He said in verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Strive for that. And that's what Paul is saying in Ephesians 5. Go with me back over there. Let's read verses 8 and 10 together. "For you were sometimes darkness." He's saying all of those things were us. "You were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Solomon said in Proverbs 10, verse 32, "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable." The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. They know and they declare what is acceptable. This is my second critical statement. What is acceptable to God? Christ. That's it. He's it. We never get away from Christ. We never get away from Christ. A child of God knows. The lips of the righteous know. They don't read these things and say, "Well, I think if I'll do all these things, God will be happy with me." The child of God knows, and he declares that all the focus must be on Christ. We never take the focus off of Christ. Never. Christ alone is acceptable. Ephesians chapter 1 says, "We are accepted in the Beloved." Only in the Beloved. Only in Him. Without Him, we can do nothing. Without His favor, we have no acceptance. Without His Spirit, we have no life. Without His blood, we have no hope. Without Him, we have nothing. I mean, we have nothing. We have nothing. But with Him, in Him, through Him, we have all things. And the Scripture says, in Him, through Him, by Him, we can do all things. Through His work in us, He performs a work in His people. And through His work in us, there are things that He produces that He says are acceptable to Him. Just like the Scripture says, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. All right? God gave that faith to Abraham. Faith is not of ourselves. That's a gift of God. So God selected Abraham. God gave the faith to Abraham. God performed the faith in Abraham. He which has begun a good work in you will perform it. But then God counted it to Abraham, amazingly, through His grace, His gift. He counted it to Abraham for righteousness. He said, "That's acceptable to me." He did it and then credited Abraham with it. Let me show you some things that our Lord says are acceptable to Him. Go with me to Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you know that old saying, don't smoke, cuss, chew, or run with women that do? Whether you run with them or not is your business. But don't let it hinder your worship. Let's not let anything hinder us from presenting ourselves before the Lord. Presenting ourselves to Him. Don't run with them on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. Tell them, I'll chew with you any other day of the week, any other time. But let's guard the times that have been set aside for worship. Let's guard those times. Let's strive to present ourselves before God. He said, it's our reasonable service. And He said, it's acceptable to me. It's acceptable to our God. Look right here at Romans 14, verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, not in love. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. What he said was, we have liberty in Christ. We have liberty in Christ. We are not under the bondage of the law. Our Lord said, nothing that goes into the mouth can defile us. You know, they had all the, you better not touch that. You better not taste that. You better not this. You better not that. Our Lord said, nothing that goes into the mouth can defile you. Paul said, I can eat any piece of meat that I want to, even if it was offered to an idol. He said, I could care less. That idol means nothing to me. That's nothing. What man is doing over there, that's nothing. I serve the true and living God who made that piece of meat. But he said, if a younger brother in the faith comes and says, don't eat that. The religious organization made that. That spaghetti dinner is in support of what they're doing over there. That's supporting false religion. Don't eat that. He said, don't tell him how weak he is in the faith and don't cut him down and break his spirit by just offending him and eating it in front of him. Say to him, you know what, brother? That's right. I'll throw it away. Even though you have liberty to eat it, I'll throw it away. At all cost, do things that make peace. Let's be patient with one another. Strengthen each other. Our God said, that's acceptable to me. That's acceptable. Look at Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 18 says, the Apostle Paul said, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He said, you gave to me in my time of need. And he said, I'm very grateful. And he said it was acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Give to each other. Be generous with each other. If we have a brother who's in need, give to him. Give to him. He said that's acceptable and it's well-pleasing to God. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Pray for each other. Pray for each other. Brethren, pray for us. Oh, pray for us. Pray for those who are in authority over us, that the Lord may allow us to live a quiet and peaceable life and just worship Him. He said this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Go one more. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter 2, verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently? This is acceptable with God. Now, this is what he's saying. When we endure grief and suffering wrongfully, people do things to us and treat us in a way that we did not ask for it. We didn't do anything to bring it on ourselves. He said, if we take all of that patiently, just wait on the Lord. Just take it patiently. Well, they're not treating me right. Just take it patiently and wait on the Lord. He said, this is acceptable to God and it's well pleasing to God. Verse 21, for even hereunto were you called because, and this is how we started and this is where we finish and this is the motive for the middle. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He knew the judge of the earth is going to do right. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body. You talk about suffering by the walk of life wrongfully. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. God said that way right there, that fruit of taking the suffering patiently. He said, that's so acceptable to me. That's acceptable. Well pleasing. Go back to our text, Ephesians 5. Verse 8 says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, do you notice in verse 8, he said, you were darkness? You know, people read that and think, well, don't have any fellowship with them over there because you're better than them. No. He's saying don't have fellowship with yourself. That's what he's saying. Don't have fellowship with all those unfruitful works of darkness right inside your own selves. Fellowship means friendly association between people who share the same interest. It means companionship. And he said, don't have it with yourself. Don't have it with your flesh. Don't encourage it. Don't nourish it. Don't give it the opportunity to thrive. He said, but rather reprove the flesh, the works of the flesh, things of the flesh. Reprove means convict. Convict it. Be convicted by it. And if our fellowship with others does bring out all of those things in us, then maybe we shouldn't have fellowship with those. If that's what thrives every time we're together, if that's all that thrives, then let's not encourage that fellowship. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Everything is being seen by the eye of him with whom we have to do. He's looking on the mind. He's looking on the heart. Everything is being seen. Isaiah 40 says, all the secret things in the valley are going to be exalted. It's all going to be exposed. Every dark secret thing in this heart is going to be exposed. And every proud thing on top of the mountain is going to be made low. And all the rough places are going to be smoothed off. All flesh is grass, and the grass is going to be burned up. So the voice cried, behold your God. Behold the Lord God. Verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Look to him. He's our only hope. Seeing that we are these things by nature, he's our only hope. Verse 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly. That means diligently. Walk diligently. Where? Toward Christ. Run to Christ. Run to Christ. We see these things. This is so convicting to a sinner. We see these things and we know, I don't stack up. Run to Christ. I'm going to be, based on my mind, forget about my deeds and my heart, just based on my mind, I'm going to be judged in my sins. Run to Christ. Run to Christ. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. Don't come in your own works. Don't come in your own merit. Don't come saying, well, I did this and I did that. Don't come as fools. He said, but as wise. Come begging for mercy. Come crawling on the hands and knees of our heart, begging for mercy, pleading the blood. I just plead your blood. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming means to purchase, to ransom, to rescue from loss. What it means is be urgent about this. Let's be very urgent about this. Because he said the days are evil. That means full of temptations. The days are full of temptations. This is what our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. He said, you need to pray this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. May the Lord allow us to redeem the time, awake out of our spiritual sleep, and strive for the fruit of His Spirit. Okay, you're dismissed.